The Gemara in, there's a brice in Sukkah Chav Chesem and Beis, which teaches us a very important principle about the mitzvah of Sukkah. The brice tells us as follows. Tana Rabbanan, Teishvu, this is quoting the Pasuk in Parshas Emor, Basukos Teishvu Shivas Yamim. So the Gemara darshins, Teishvu Kein Taduru, that you shall reside, you shall sit, Kein Taduru, similar to the way that you live. The Yerushalmi says, this is the Yerushalmi, Ksiv Besukos Teishvu, Ve'ein Teishvu El Taduru, Kama Da'at Amart V'Yerashtem Oseh V'Yashav Temba. It says that we will inherit the land of Eretz Yisrael, or kick out the inhabitants, V'Yashav Temba, and we will sit in the land of Israel. Is there a mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, to sit in Israel? You get off the plane and you walk around, you're not making any mitzvah yet. But then when you find a chair and you sit down, you're now making the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, that's not the pshat. Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean to sit in Israel. It means to dwell. It means to dwell. So that's what the Yerushalmi is saying. The Pasuk says that you will be shave. Right? The Lashon HaPasuk. Basukos Teishvu Shivas Yomim. That doesn't mean that you shall sit in the sukkah for 7 days, but rather it means that you shall dwell there. And this is the Yerushalmi introducing us to the principle of Teishvu Kein Taduru. Okay. Now, how do we define Kein Taduru? What does it mean that we will dwell in the sukkah, similar to the way that we dwell in our home? So in Yerushalmi it says, Shia Ochel Umitayel Umala Kelov L'sukkah. Three things. You'll eat in the sukkah. You will be metayel there. Now, metayel in modern Hebrew means to take a trip. Now, what, you're going to get like your... All right, everybody, fill up 2 water bottles. Get your sun hats. And you're going to go for a hike in your sukkah. That's obviously not the pshat of metayel, the sukkah. Metayel here means to relax, to chill out. I think chill out is a good term. It means to hang out in your sukkah. So you're going to eat in your sukkah. If someone comes over to Shmooz, you'll sit with him in the sukkah. You're going to play Settlers in the sukkah. You play and hang out in the sukkah. And you're mala kelo of the sukkah. And you bring your kelim. Your kelim means your a painting on the wall, maybe your dishes, your menorah, your light, your maybe even your couch. You bring out some of your nice stuff to the sukkah. That's how the Yerushalmi defines things. If you look in the Bryce 1 second, it means your light. It means you can't light because they didn't have lights back then. Yeah, it doesn't mean that. So, if you look in the Bryce also says Teishu Kein Tadur Mikan Amru Kol Shiva Sayomim Ose Odom Sukoso Kavo Beso Arai Keitzad. How do you make your sukkah into your permanent place? Hayelo kelim noim ma'an l'sukkah. Matzos nos ma'an l'sukkah. So you have nice kelim, you bring them into the sukkah. You have matzos nos. What are matzos? Sheets or blankets, correct. You bring them into the sukkah. Ochel v'shosa u'metayel b'sukkah. You eat, you drink, you hang out in the sukkah, and you're mishanin b'sukkah, and you learn in the sukkah. And the Gemara has a little bit of a diyun. Does it really mean that you learn in the sukkah? So it means that you learn like Bikiyas in the sukkah. You learn Parsha in the sukkah. But Iyun, where you need to like really just be able to focus and you can't have distractions, so that you can do in a base medrash. That you don't have to do in the sukkah. So what's glaringly absent from both Yerushalmi and the Brice on Chav Chasam and Beis in sukkah is sleeping. There's no mention of sleeping. Now, is there anyone who can argue that maybe there's a little bit of a hint to sleeping?
Sheets.
What? It says Natal get to relax, to hang out. It says to dwell, but then it says Ketzad. And it says you eat, you hang out, you bring your nice stuff there. Doesn't say sleep.
What are the sheets for?
Oh, so the question is, what about the sheets? Now, are you bringing out the sheets? Does the sheets here mean like
tablecloth?
Like a tablecloth? Or does it mean like drapes drapes, are they called? You know, like, to hang on the wall, like, nice picture, right? Some people have, like, the material of the sukkah has, like, a nice picture of Yerushalayim on it. So, is that what it means? Or does it mean the sheets? Or does it mean the sheets, like, your pillowcase and your bed sheet, your duvet cover, I think it's called, right? A duvet cover? Yeah. So, that's a little bit of the question, but again, what's clearly not mentioned, at least not mentioned explicitly, is to sleep in the sukkah. Okay. The if you look in the Mishnah, the beginning of the second parak of sukkah, so the Mishnah reads as follows: Hayoshan tachas amita b'sukkah lo yotzi yedei chovasa. So it's interesting, in the Braisa and in the Rishali, it didn't mention anything about bringing a bed into the sukkah. It said sheets, we don't know what sheets are, but it didn't say anything about bringing your bed into your sukkah. But the second, the Mishnah, the very beginning of the second parak says, Hayoshan tachas hamita b'sukkah, someone who sleeps underneath the bed in the sukkah, is not yotzei yedei chovaso. Amar Rav Yehuda says, no, we used to do it. No, then they ask again, we used to always sleep under the bed, and nobody said anything. So, a couple of horrors about this Mishnah. Number one, why does the Mishnah choose eating? We're clearly, and if you continue learning the sugya over there, the sugya there is about an ohel in the sukkah. You're supposed to eat, you're supposed to be in the sukkah underneath the schach. So what if, instead of being underneath the schach, you put a little tent in your sukkah? So you're technically under the tent and not under the schach. The schach is on top of your tent. Are you yotze or not? That's what the sugya is about over there. The sugya is not about sleeping any more than it's about eating. It's about being underneath a bed in a sukkah. It could have talked just as much about eating underneath the bed. If you go under the bed and you eat under the bed, are you yotze or are you not yotze? But the Mishnah specifically talks about a yashan tachas hamita. Why? Now, I realize that it's more, I mean, it's not so normal to sleep underneath a bed, just like it's not normal to eat under a bed. Like, you sleep on a bed. You don't sleep under a bed, unless there's like a bed, unless there's a monster in your closet, then you go under the bed. But if there's no monster in the closet, why would you go under the bed? So why are you sleeping under the bed? You might as well just be eating under the bed. Like, bring the classic example. The classic example of doing something in the sukkah underneath something else should be eating. Why is it sleeping? Now, you might say, yeah, but like, maybe it's more normal to sleep under a bed than it is to eat under a bed. Granted. But there's another Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Yudalad in sukkah says as follows. Misachachin b'nisarim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're allowed to use planks. And as opposed to like thin schach, like bamboo or thin pieces of wood, let's say you have nice, chunky planks of wood. So, can you use those? Rabbi Yehuda says yes. Rabbi Meir says no, it's usser. Yeah, there's a discussion in the Gemara, how wide are the planks that we're talking about? So then the Gemara says, Nosin ala neser shu rochav arba tfachim. If you put a plank which is wider than four tfachim, like this much, right? Four hand breadths, ksheira, that's okay. As long as you don't sleep under it. Again, why does the Mishnah use sleeping as its example? Say, as long as you don't eat under it. Meaning, they had to pick something that you do in the sukkah, that it's a problem. If you have a plank, which is more than four tefachim, it doesn't passel the sukkah, but you can't do your sukkah things under it. So what's the classic example of doing a sukkah thing? I would have said to eat. And yet, the Mishnah chooses to sleep. So in two places, the Mishnayos, again, nothing to do about sleeping per se. When they bring examples of living in the sukkah and problematic ways of living in the sukkah, they both times they use the example of sleeping. And it begs the question of, is this an indication that sleeping is or is not? And I guess that's our big question for today. Is sleeping part of the mitzvah of sukkah? Is it an integral and definitional part of being in the sukkah? So, the Rimi Luniel, one of the Rishonim, comments on this Mishnah and says, you know why the Mishnah, in the beginning of the second parak says, Hayoshan tachas hamita, could have said, Ha'ochel tachas hamita. It's in order to stress to you that sleeping is part of the Iker mitzvah of sukkah. And this is said explicitly by who? By whom? By who? By Rashi. By Rashi. Rashi commenting on this Mishnah Rashi says, and now maybe we understand Rashi's comment. Rashi says, Hayashan tachas mitzvah lo yotza, to the OL is mafsik beino l'sukkah, v'ikr yeshivas ha-sukkah is achilu shti and shena. Why does Rashi make that comment here? This is like a great Rashi to start the Masechta with. Right? The Masechta begins, sukkah shehila ma'alameh tavachim a sukkah which is higher than 20 amos. So that's a great place for Rashi to tell us, oh, by the way, sukkah shigavoa. By the way, you know, I want to know what the mitzvah of sukkah is all about. The mitzvah of sukkah is all about eating, sleeping, eating, drinking, and sleeping. Why does Rashi comment that here on Hayashan Tachas Amita? Maybe Rashi's coming to explain or answer our question. What's our question? Why does the Mishnah choose sleep? Choose eating. Choose sleeping. Drinking. Why does the Mishnah choose sleeping as its example? So comes Rashi and tells you, basically what the Rima Luniel is telling us, which is that the Mishnah is dafka using the example of sleep in order to teach you that Iker Mitzvah Sukkah is sleeping. Sleeping is part of the Iker Mitzvah Sukkah. I'll give you one other ha'ara in this Mishnah, which has always bothered me. I remember the night of Shavuos in Shalavim when I was Shana Bet. We were learning Sukkah that year in Kayetzman. So Chavrus and I decided we're going to learn this Mishnah as like our, that was what we're going to learn the whole night. So one of the things I remember we were trying to figure out the whole night was the Lashon of Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavasa. What does that mean? If you sleep under the bed, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah of Sukkah. It's just a very fascinating. I would have said, "Aser lishon tachas amita b'sukkah." What do you mean, "lo yatzi yedei chovasa"? I don't understand. If I eat in the sukkah Sunday, day one, and day two. Let's say day one, I do great. I eat in the sukkah. I sleep in the sukkah. I hang out in the sukkah. Day two, I'm still doing great. Day three, I'm doing great. Day four, I'm doing great. By day five, I'm starting to like get some sukkah burnout. And day five, I finally say, "I can't take this anymore. I'm eating inside my house." So I was not Yotze now the mitzvah of sukkah when? I wasn't.
It doesn't say not to. You can't eat in your house. It just says you have to eat in sukkah.
Okay, so I'm asking. I wasn't Yotze now what? I wasn't Yotze the mitzvah of sukkah all 7 days? Like the mitzvah is we wait until the seventh day and we say, oh, you didn't miss any meals? You didn't eat any meals outside the sukkah? You're Yotze the mitzvah.
It's called Shelah.
What? Right, exactly. It's just that's like a little bit of a crazy way of looking at things. Did anyone say that, like, you're not Yotze the mitzvah of sukkah until the end of all 7 days? We look and we see, oh, you missed one night? You slept one night under the bed? Oh, that's it, you're not Yotze the mitzvah. Or maybe it means with that sleeping. That sleeping, that night that you slept under the bed, you weren't Yotze the mitzvah with that sleeping. So, Lemaisa, it's an interesting lashon, this lashon of you're not Yotze. The Rambam also brings this lashon. The Rambam writes, Mita shebesoch ha-sukkah. I have a mita in your sukkah. If it's gavoa asar tvachim, hayoshev tachtea lo yotze yedei chova. So it's interesting. The Rambam doesn't make it about sleeping. What does the Rambam make it about? This is the Rambam. You have a Rambam here. Halacha, Perek Hei Halacha Chav Gimel. Perek Hei Halacha Chav Gimel. This is a classic Rambam hijack, right? We've spoken about this. Where the Rambam takes a Gemara, basically quotes it word for word, but switches one word. And that word is often significant. Remember, I made this whole big deal about the fact that the Mishnah says, Hayoshan Tachas Amita, because why Shena? You can also choose eating, you can also choose drinking. The Rambam changed it. What did the Rambam do? What did I say? It's the Rambam Parak Hey, Halacha Chav Gimel. Mita Shebesoch HaSukkah Im Gavo Asar Tvachim Hayoshev Tachteha Lo Yatsi Yedei Chovaso. Interesting, what is that? Why did he switch it from sleeping? He switched it from sleeping to Yoshev, meaning you sit there. Now, what do you mean you sit there? You eat your meal there, you hang out there. He purposely moves it away from sleeping, which is very fascinating. Okay.
Why would it be usher to sleep in the sukkah?
Why would it be usher to sleep in the sukkah under a bed?
Yeah.
If that's considered outside the sukkah, that's considered outside the sukkah. You have something else covering you.
Right.
You should be sleeping in the sukkah. You should be sleeping on the bed. You should be eating on the bed. Let's say you and your family you all climb under the table and you eat your meal under the table. Could be that you just missed out in the midst of sukkah because you're not in a sukkah. You're in a sukkah mitoch sukkah. You're in a ol mitoch sukkah. You're not in the sukkah.
The lashon sounds almost like it's
good to sleep in the sukkah, but it's not as much of a chiyuv, otherwise you'd be also to sleep outside.
No, I think that a yashan tachas amita b'sukkah lo yatzi dechavasa means that if you sleep under the bed, that sleeping is not registered as sleeping in the sukkah. You are not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah with that sleeping. And I'm asking, why is the Mishnah using the example of sleeping? And in fact, the Rambam moves away from that. The Rambam does not use the example of sleeping. So, where are things holding right now? Let's just get our scorecard at home. So, the Braisa, the Yerushalmi, do not mention sleeping. Rashi, the Rimi Luniel, the indication of the Mishnah here, the indication of the Mishnah on Yadalad, is that sleeping is definitely part of the mitzvah. The Rambam, who switches it from sleeping, maybe the Rambam holds that it's not part of the mitzvah. Okay, so let's see if we can start to develop the study. So let's start with Rashi. According to Rashi, it seems absolutely clear. I mean, you can't write it any clearer than that. Rashi writes, Iker mitzvah sukkah is achila, shtiyah, and shena. So according to Rashi, it is absolutely clear that part of the Iker definition of the mitzvah of sukkah is to sleep in the sukkah. Yes, Avi.
Rashi, saying that from the Mishnah is telling us.
I'm suggesting that Rashi is even telling us that the Reb Yehuda Nasi chose sleeping in order to tell us that sleeping is part of the Iker Mitzvah. Okay. Correct.
You said that lo yotzei means hits to the fact that if you don't sleep in the sukkah, you're not going to
say no. I was just noting that that's a strange lashon, lo yotzei yidei chavaso. Like, I would have thought the Mishnah would have said, like, it's usher to sleep under the sukkah. Like, let's say I ate a meal there, and then I slept under the bed, and then I woke up and had another meal. So I think I was yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah today. I ate in the sukkah. Does the fact that I slept under the bed mean I wasn't yotzei it the whole day? Or it just means that that sleeping was not yotzei? But again, yotzei dechovasa makes it sound like you must sleep in the sukkah. It's not, there's something lacking in your mitzvah of sukkah if you don't sleep there. Okay. So that's Rashi. Now, what's the svara of Rashi? So the svara seems to be, again, the pasuk just says, "Basukos teshu shevas yamim." You must dwell in the sukkah. So I think Rashi's svara is pretty clear, which is that if I asked you, how do you define your house, Benny? You live in a house, right? Okay. So why is it your house? How do you define it? It's like living there. The fact that you live there. I understand that your parents own it, but what? How would you? If I asked you, like, do you live at home? Right, and right now you don't live at home. But when you live at home, what makes it that you live there? Like, how do you define the fact that you live there?
That I have a room there, which I sleep in.
Because you sleep there. I would say, just a svar pshuta, sleeping is probably the most definitional thing in terms of when you say, like, this is my home. Why? People eat out of their house all the time and basically every day. Like, as a kid, you probably went to school. You might have had breakfast in school, because you had davening in school. So you might have had, I mean, you might have had like a bowl of cereal before, but you had breakfast served to you in school. You ate lunch in school. People go to work and they eat lunch at work. Eating is not super definitional in terms, at least from a svar pshuta. I'm not talking about in halacha. Sleeping, it's much more rare to sleep outside your home. My home is my shelter. That's where I sleep. I come home at the end of the day and I sleep there. So the idea that we need to live in the sukkah, and therefore how do you define where you live? You define where you live by where you sleep. It seems to be a very pashut svara that sleep is part of the ikar definition. I don't mean to exclude eating, but that sleeping should be part of the ikar definition of your home, I think is a svara pshuta. There happens to be a machlokas in the Gemara in Erevin about what defines residency in halacha. Is it achila and is it shtia? And the Gemara, we paskin that it's achila. So that's why I'm specifically not saying api halacha. I'm just talking about in terms of svar pshuta. Svar pshuta is my house, is where I sleep, is what defines my home. That's point number one. Point number two, there is a halacha that indicates that sleeping is more integral than eating. And what's that? That's the din of shena sarai. As you saw in the Gemara has a discusses eating outside of the sukkah. You are allowed to eat outside of the sukkah things that are not considered an achilas keva. So you can have fruit, you can have a glass of water. Is there a midas chasidus to eat everything in the sukkah? Yes. But al pi halacha, are you allowed to eat outside of the sukkah? Yes, you are. Even a bite of bread, you can eat outside of the sukkah, as long as you eat less than a certain amount. So, achilas Arai, snacks are allowed outside of the sukkah. But Shenas Arai is not allowed outside of the sukkah, right? The Gemara has a debate. First, the Gemara says maybe the whole reason you have to sleep, you can't take a nap outside of the sukkah, is because of Shema Yeradim. Maybe you'll fall into a deeper sleep. And if that's true, so then we have mechanisms to make sure that you won't. You know, like you sleep, you know, like on your knees. So that no one's going to fall into a deep, deep sleep, sleeping on their knees. So there could be that there are mechanisms then that allow us to take naps outside of the sukkah, like on a shtender. Put your head down on the shtender. You're not going to sleep for 5 hours on a shtender. You're not going to get into a deep sleep. So the, but Rava comes at the end of the Gemara, and Rava says, no, ain't kevel ashena. There's no such thing as a deeper sleeper in terms of halacha. Halacha, sleeping is sleeping, and therefore, in the sukkah, you are not allowed to take any type of sleep, even a small sleep, even bein birkov. Oh, I won't fall into a deep sleep? That's okay. That's not my problem. My issue is you're not allowed to sleep even a non-deep sleep. Even just a tiny little snooze is usher outside the sukkah. Supposed to tefillin. By tefillin, so the concern is passing gas. It's not sleeping. There's no isser to sleep with tefillin. It's an isser to pass gas with your tefillin on. And therefore, a deep sleep is more problematic. A little snooze is not such a problem. You know, a little dipping like this. But in the sukkah, outside the sukkah, you're not allowed to even take a little nap outside the sukkah. So even from a halachic place, and everyone agrees to this, it's very easy to argue that sleeping is definitional for the sukkah. Maybe even more than eating. Because I'm allowed to snack. Let's say you're gluten-free, and you don't like bread, whatever, you're not lactose, you're gluten intolerant, and you don't like bread anyway, and you're on a diet, and therefore all you're eating is you're on a fruit diet, you eat fruit all day, and you drink water all day. That's it. Fruit and water and vegetables. So you don't have to be in the sukkah at all. I mean, we'll see. You do the first night. But you don't have to eat in the sukkah at all. You can be eating outside. But you can't take any naps. Even if you're like Rav Chaim, and you just like put your head down on your shtender, and you sleep for like half an hour, and you get up, and you learn for a few more hours, and you never get into bed, even though that's not really true about Rav Chaim. But I saw him sleeping in his bed once. Very strange story. I once went with a bunch of friends to, when I was in yeshiva, we went to go visit Rav Chaim, and I don't know, his daughter or his granddaughter, someone answered the door, and they said, oh, he's resting. We're like, oh, we're like yeshiva guys from America, we came all the way to Bnei Brak just to see him. So she was like, all right, I'll let you peek at him while he's sleeping. So we were like, okay. So she like opened the door of his bedroom, and we like looked in, and we saw him sleeping on his bed. And then she's like, okay, go out. So it was very strange. That was not life-changing, but I think he was dressed. Like he looked like he was just like taking like a short little nap. Like he just like. I don't remember. I was actually like shaking. I was like very nervous that we were gonna like wake him up and his eyes were gonna be like as we're looking at him. So I was trying to be very, very quiet. I felt like if I like woke him up, I'd be like Mavato was learning, and I was like very nervous. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't want to move about to the time's time. So, good. So, let's say we hold like Rashi. And again, we've explained a good svara for Rashi, and we've also even seen al pi halacha, you can make the argument that sleeping is more integral and more definitional than eating. So if that's the case, how do we explain the fact that the Braisa and the Yerushalmi don't mention sleeping? So, how do we explain that? What would we suggest? Let's go to the other... we're going to the other extreme. What's the other extreme way of explaining the Braisa and the Yerushalmi? How come they don't mention sleeping? Because it's so obvious. Exactly. Maybe they don't mention sleeping as the definition of the sukkah because obviously you have to sleep in the sukkah. That's the basic definition of living somewhere, is that you sleep there. This is my home. Oh, really? What do you do there? Oh, I just eat there. I don't sleep there. I sleep someplace else. Then why is that your home? This is where I'm living? Oh, I'm living here. I just don't sleep here. So you're not living there, right? So you go over to your friend's house. You eat with him lunch every day. So you live with your friend? You don't live with your friend. You live with your friend if you have a bed there and you sleep. Of course you have to sleep in the sukkah. So maybe that's why the Braisa doesn't mention it. And add to that the fact that it mentions you have to bring the sheets in. Why are you bringing the sheets in? So it could be that the Braisa and the Yerushalmi don't mention sleeping because it's so obvious that that's the definition of living. Right? The Gemara says, how do you live there? So it tells us the things that are not obvious. You need to eat there, meaning, who said I need to eat there? I eat all the time outside of my house. No. In Sukkot, you need to eat there. And you need to bring your nice stuff out there. And of course, you bring out the nice bed sheets because you're sleeping there, obviously. So maybe that's the way that we would look at things. Now, if the mitzvah, if sleeping is really part of the definition of the mitzvah, so there are a couple of very fascinating nafkamina. Nafkamina number one is there might be an absolute chiyuv to sleep there the first night of Sukkot. What do I mean by that? The Gemara darshins, a very famous drasha you should be aware of, tutu. The drasha of tutu. What's the drasha of tutu? It's the drasha of tesvav, tesvav. The Gemara learns a drasha that it says that the first night of Pesach is tesvav Nisan. And the first night of Sukkot is tesvav Tishrei. And the Gemara learns a relationship between the Pasuk that's written by Pesach and the Pasuk that's written by Sukkot. And the Gemara says as follows. Just like the first night of Pesach, there's an absolute chiyuv to eat matzah. You have to eat a kazayas matzah the first night of Pesach. That's the mitzvah of motzei matzah. What about the rest of Pesach? Let's say you're not such a matzah guy. And you're going to just eat fruit and, potato sticks and egg kichels. That's what you're going to eat the entire Pesach. You're not eating any other matzah. You don't like matzah. It hurts your stomach. Do you have to eat matzah? You do not have to eat matzah. There is no chiyuv to eat matzah on Pesach, except the first night. The first night, you must eat matzah. You can't choose not to eat matzah. So the Gemara says, so too, just like there's a chiyuv the first night of Pesach, so too there's an absolute chiyuv the first night of Sukkot, which means that on Sukkot, if you would like to not eat any bread the entire Sukkot and not have any meals the entire Sukkot, you are allowed to. You are allowed to just eat fruit if you want. You don't have to eat any meals on Sukkot except for the first night. The first night of Sukkot, there's a chiyuv to eat a meal and to have bread. Why? Tutu, tesvav, tesvav. Just like there's a chiyuv the first night of Pesach, there's also a chiyuv the first night of Sukkot. That is why people are makbid. All the years I remember going to my father-in-law, he always makes an announcement that the first night of Sukkot, when we're about to make the, wash, he reminds everyone that the first kazayas we eat, everyone should eat a full kazayas before talking. Don't talk, or even a kibetza. Don't talk. Everyone should eat a significant amount because it's an absolute chiyuv to eat the first night of Sukkot. Okay, hold on one second. So I have a chakir I'd like to share with you, and the chakir is as follows. I think we're Baruch Ber. Big Talmud of Rav Chaim Salvechev, Rav Baruch Ber. So Rav Baruch Ber, I think, has the following chakira. When we say that the first night is a chiyuv, do we mean that the first night, the chiyuvim of Pesach, are absolute, the dinim of Pesach, are absolute chiyuvim? Meaning, you have to eat matzah? You have to eat matzah. And so too, the first night of Sukkot, the mitzvah of the day, Sukkah, is an absolute chiyuv, or is it dafka eating? Meaning, on Pesach, the mitzvah of the day is eating matzah. So it's an absolute chiyuv to eat matzah. On Sukkot, the mitzvah of the day is not eating. The mitzvah of the day is living in the sukkah. So when the Gemara says, just like on the first night of Pesach, you have a chiyuv, it's not optional, you have a chiyuv to eat matzah, so too on the first night of Sukkot, does that mean on the first night of Sukkot, you just have a chiyuv achila? Or it means that the mitzvah of sukkah is an absolute chiyuv. Meaning day two, day three, day four, if you don't want to be in a sukkah, you don't have to be in a sukkah. If you go, they're eating a kind of mitzvah. But if you decide you don't want to eat and you don't want to play settlers, so you don't have to go into the sukkah on day two, three, four, and five of sukkahs. So what's the nafkamina of this chakira? What does it make a difference if it's a chiyuv achila? Or if it's a chiyuv that the mitzvah of sukkah is a chiyuv. Nafkamina is that according to Rashi, part of the mitzvah of sukkah is sleeping there. Which would mean, let's say I'm a big tough guy, and it's the first night of Sukkot, and I say, I'm not sleeping tonight. We're going to have a meal, then we're going to have a tish, and then we're going to go sukkah hopping, and then we're going to stay up all night in the sukkah and learn until Vasikin. And then we'll daven Vasikin. So it could be that you're not allowed to do that the first night of Sukkot. You have a chiyuv to sleep there. Why? because you have a chiyuv to be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. On any other night of sukkah, if you don't want to eat and you don't want to sleep in the sukkah, you don't have to. You can't eat a meal outside the sukkah. You can't sleep outside the sukkah. But if you don't want to eat, you don't want to sleep, you don't have to. But the first night, it's a chiyuv. Hello, what does that mean, it's a chiyuv? If it's means achilas, so you just have to eat. But if it's means the mitzvah of sukkah is a chiyuv, well, then according to Rashi, that sleeping is part of the ikker definition. That's how I say, this is my mitzvah of sukkah. If you sleep under the bed, you're no lo yatzi dechom also. So maybe you would have a chiyuv then to dafka sleep the first night of sukkahs. Every other night of sukkahs, you don't want to sleep, you don't have to sleep. You could stay up all night, at a simchas beis shueva. But the first night, you have a chiyuv to sleep. This would actually explain something fascinating, then I'll take your question. There is a sefer called the Sefer Leket Yosher, who was a Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen. Talking about the times of the Rishonim. Ashkenazi Rishonim. So the Leket Yosher, the Sefer, is a Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen. He writes all of his Rebbe's practices. So he says a fascinating thing. Listen to this. And if we didn't have our background, it would make no sense. He writes that the Trumas Hadeshen used to not take a nap on Erev Sukkos in order so that he could sleep in the sukkah with Teyavon the first night of Sukkos. Now, what in the world does that mean? So we know, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. One of the reasons is we want to eat the matzah l'teyavon. So the Trumas Hadeshen didn't sleep on Erev Sukkos, so that he can go to sleep l'teyavon. Now, that shita seemingly only makes sense if you learn, like Rashi, and you learn, like we're saying, that there's an absolute chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah on the first night. That's the mitzvah sayom. The mitzvah sayom is the sukkah. What does sukkah mean? Sukkah means eat, drink, and sleep, like Rashi said. And therefore, the Trumas Hadeshen didn't eat a big meal on Erev Yontif. He didn't drink a lot on Erev Yontif. And he didn't take a nap on Erev Yontif. Why? So that he could do the mitzvah of sukkah with Teyavon. So that he could eat, drink, and sleep with his slavus the first night to be Mekayim the mitzvah. Yes, Moshe.
Say the darshan of
Tesvav. Tesvav,
Tesvav. Tesvav, Tesvav, and why woman chayav sukkah?
What, what?
So then why aren't women chayav sukkah? Yeah, but then they're chayav matzah.
No, but they're also not chayav to eat. Even if you learn it the other way, they don't have a chayav to eat. They don't have a chayav to eat the first night of sukkahs.
No,
so you're asking a question on the drasha in general.
I'm saying yes. It's different because they were part of the nation of sukkah too.
Yeah, there's a machlokes about what afen ayuvos ha'anes means, but the din is that a woman is chayev in matzah because of exeris hakasav, that because she's chayev of on not eating chametz, she's also there's a special drasha. That's a good question in general on the drasha of tesvav tesvav. I mean, it's not necessarily connected to this chakira. No matter how you learn it, that's a good question. Good question. How come the tesvav tesvav doesn't bring a chiyah for nashim? Good question. Okay. Another nafkamina is regarding the bracha. It's really more of a nafkamina in the Rishonim about bracha. The Rishonim ask, it's a Tosfos and Brachos on Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. Tosfos, Brachos, Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. Tosfos asks, why don't we make a bracha before we go to sleep in the sukkah? Baruch atah Hashem kenem al-chalam, Hashem kenem al-chalam, Hashem kenem al-chalam, Hashem kenem al-chalam, Lishon basukah. Or even a leishev. Even a leishev. But at least lishon or lishon basukah. How come we don't make a bracha when we sleep? Now wait a second. What should we expect the answer to be? So either you're going to say, because sleeping is not part of the mitzvah, so we don't make a bracha. So the Tosfos there gives two answers. Answer number one of Tosfos is maybe you won't fall asleep. Like, eating is in your control. You make a bracha and you stick the food in your mouth. But sleeping, you need to fall asleep. So if you make the bracha and then you lie there for 4 hours and you don't fall asleep, so you just made a bracha levatala. So therefore, that's why we don't make the bracha. The longest of that, though, is that, right, Tosfos didn't say, why would I make a bracha on sleeping? Sleeping is not part of the ikar mitzvah. He came up with a technical answer of, oh, maybe you won't fall asleep. Meaning, it's mashma that Tosfos is also learning that in a chanami, we should be making a bracha on sleeping, but there's a technicality. Who said you're going to fall asleep? Tosfos also brings up, that's a question about hamapil. There are some people don't say hamapil for that reason. Tosfos also brings up the possibility that, well, you probably just ate, and then you're going to sleep. So you already made a bracha on the eating. So it you're already yotzei the bracha because you just made a bracha when you had dinner, you benched, you know, I don't know, you brushed, went inside and brushed your teeth and got your pajama on, your pajamas on, and then you went to sleep. So you already made a bracha. There wasn't like a big hefsek. So that answer also is assuming that Einach Hanami, we should be making a bracha on it, but you were probably already yotzei with the bracha on food. The Rush, though, quotes a different answer. The Rush writes that Iker mitzvaso ve'achila. And that's why we don't make a bracha on sleeping. The Rush. Now, the Rush, this is the Rush in Perek Dalad, Halacha Gimel. That's a very different answer than the answer of Tosfos. The answer of the Rush, that Iker mitzvaso ve'achila, why don't we make a bracha on sleeping? Because why would we make a bracha on sleeping? That's not the Iker mitzvah. The Iker mitzvah is the achila. So, another nafka mina is, should you at least theoretically be making a bracha on sleeping? Let's say, for instance, you didn't eat one night. Or let's say you ate and then you went out on the town and you went to Simchas Pesach Shoevas and then you come back and you want to go to sleep. There was a huge hefsek. Maybe you should make a bracha on sleeping. So that would also be a nafka mina. Okay, there's one other very interesting shita which also reflects this idea that the mitzvah is also sleeping, and that is there's a minhag brought down of the Gedolei Tzarfas. The Ritva quotes that he heard that the Gedolei Tzarfas, the great French rabbis, the first night of Sukkot, if it rained, so they would put a big hat on, and they would try to doze off at least just for a few minutes before they went inside. What's he referring to? We know the halacha is that in general, when it rains, you're supposed to go inside and not eat in the sukkah. But the Rishonim quote that for the first night, you should try to at least eat something in the rain, just to be yotzei the first night, since it's an absolute chi of the first night. So if it's raining, you quickly make kiddush, have a bite to eat, and then you go inside. So the Gedolei Tzarfas that's brought down would do the same thing to try to sleep. They would like cover themselves with like a blanket or whatever, or a hat and a jacket, and try to just like doze. That sounds pretty impossible. Like, you know, it's raining on you, and you try to like doze off. I don't know, maybe during Slichos week you could pull it off. But then I already had not taken a nap, right? So they were all ready. But again, this shita is only understandable if you understand that sleeping is not just something that you can't do outside the sukkah. Sleeping is something that defines the mitzvah of sukkah. You're not yotzei yedei chovasa without sleeping. It's not just something that's usher to do outside the sukkah. It's part of the definition of sukkah. Okay. This has been the view of Rashi. The Tzafnas Paneach. Anyone know who wrote the Sefer Tzafnas Paneach?
Yosef.
Close. Sorry. Someone else whose name is Yosef, and he was a tzaddik, so you're no. More modern day. The Rav Yosef Rosen. Who's Rav Yosef Rosen? The Rogatchover. Known as the Rogatchover. So the Rogatchover, in his Sefer Tzafnas Paneach, so he wants to argue that the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. And that according to the Rambam, there is no definitional element of sleeping in the sukkah. Sleeping in the sukkah is not the way that you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. It is usher to sleep outside the sukkah. It's usher to not sleep in the sukkah. But sleeping in the sukkah is not what defines the mitzvah. What defines the mitzvah is eating and drinking in the sukkah. That's how you're mekayim the mitzvah. You're mekayim the mitzvah by sleeping. There happens to be an isser to sleep outside the sukkah. But that's not what defines the kiyum mitzvah. And he wants to be medayik it from the Rambam. And it's a very interesting, once he points this out, so then you will always look at this Rambam differently. This is the Rambam in Perek Vav. The Rambam in the middle of Perek Vav asks the million-dollar question. Halacha hei. Ketzad hi mitzvah ha-yeshiva b'sukkah. How does one fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? How do you do it? What is the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? So says the Rambam as follows. She'e ochel v'shoseh, eat, sleep, v'dar b'sukkah kol shivas hayamim, and live there, bein b'yom, bein b'layla. K'derach shu dar b'beiso b'shar yimos hashana. Ketzad, How do you do this? Kelim noim matzos hanos bisukka klishtia bisukka. That's the end of halacha hey. Now the Rambam there did not mention anything about sleeping. Now it's true, he said to live there, but he then asks Ketzad, and he says, you bring your stuff in there. Doesn't say anything about sleeping. Then we get to halacha vav. Ochlin vishosin v'yishenin b'sukkah kol shiva bein b'yom bein b'layla. What's Rambam doing? It's like he's like stuttering. He just said that in halacha hey. In halacha hey, the Rambam said, what's mitzvah yeshiva? Listen to the lashon. Shiyehe ochel vishose v'dar b'sukkah kol shiva siyamim bein b'yom bein b'layla. Then we get to halacha vav. Ochlin v'shosin v'yishenim b'sukkah kol shiva bein b'yom bein b'layla. It's the same exact lashon, except that in halacha vav he's stuck in sleeping. Halacha hey, he didn't sleep in sleeping. So the tzotzos panech, and then he says v'aser. Now he starts telling you, and it's aser to eat even a snack out. It's aser to eat outside the sukkah unless it's a snack. It's aser to sleep outside the sukkah. So what's going on here? How come the Rambam begins in halacha hey with this broad statement? How do you live in the mitzvah of sukkah? And he says, oh, you eat and you sleep there. And you bring your nice stuff there. You live there. And then in halacha vav, he says, oh, by the way, you should eat and sleep. Thank you. I know you just said that 2 seconds ago. You should eat and also sleep. And it's usser to sleep outside the sukkah. Says the Tzafos Paneach, the Rambam is trying to tell us something very fundamental. The Rambam is trying to tell us that there's things that define the mitzvah of sukkah. And then there are things that you are usher to do outside the sukkah. What is it that defines the mitzvah? What defines the mitzvah is eating there. Eating, drinking. That's what defines the mitzvah. That's halacha hey. Ketzad mitzvah yeshiva sukkah? I'll tell you how. By eating and drinking. Now halacha vav, the Rambam tells us things that you can't do outside the sukkah. You can't eat a big meal. You can't sleep. Those are things that are usher to do outside the sukkah. But that's not the definition of the mitzvah. The definition of the mitzvah is halacha hey. Now, why does he suggest this? First of all, it comes to explain why halacha hey and halacha vav seem to say the same thing. Just he sticks in sleeping in halacha vav, which wasn't in halacha hey. That's number one. Number two, he quotes the Gemara in Erevin that says that eating is what defines living, at least regarding the dinim of Erevin. In addition to that, he notes what we pointed out, which is that the Braisa, the Yerushalmi, they don't mention anything about sleeping. So therefore, the Rogachari says that the Rambam is arguing that sleeping is not part of the definition of the mitzvah. And I will add a Tanya de Misayaya. I will add a support for this view of the Rambam. And that is that we saw that the Rambam switched the lashon of that key Mishnah, Hayashon tachas amita lo yatzi yedei chovaso, which seems to imply that the way you're mekayim the mitzvah is by sleeping, and the Rambam switched it to hayoshev tachas amita. He purposely took the word sleeping out. And I think that that is suggestive of what the Tzafnas Paneach is arguing, and that is that sleeping is not part of the definition of the mitzvah. And therefore, for instance, on the first night of Sukkot, there would be no argument to be made that you must sleep in the sukkah. Oh, but without sleeping now, I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. No, sleeping is just usser to do outside the sukkah. So if you don't want to sleep, you don't have to sleep. You just can't sleep outside the sukkah. But you don't positively have to go out and sleep. Sorry, you have to go into the sukkah and sleep in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. Right? How do I be mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah? Well, I'll tell you how. You take out money and you give it to a poor person. That's the positive actions you must do to fulfill the mitzvah. So how do I fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah? According to the Rambam, by eating there. What about sleeping? No, you're not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah, but that's not what defines the mitzvah. You don't have to sleep there in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. So all these things we spoke about, oh, the first night maybe you have a chiyuv, oh, this idea of not taking a nap on Erev Yontif, the Rambam would say that's ridiculous. Well, what does it make a difference? You sleep in the sukkah because you're not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. But you don't need to sleep there to be mekayim the mitzvah. Okay. Yeah.
So according to the Rambam, why would eating in the sukkah seem to be more
Uh-huh. Okay, good. So we would have to figure out why. Again, that would mean that the issur of sleeping outside the sukkah is absolute. But eating, in order to define the sukkah as your sukkah, you just have to eat a meal there. You don't. Snacks are not what define the sukkah. People eat snacks outside their house all the time. What makes it your home is that you have your meal there. Now, why isn't there an issur to have a snack outside? Okay, that I'm not sure.
Are you saying that?
The primary way that you define your sukkah as your makom yeshiva is by eating a meal there. You're allowed to eat a snack outside. So, again, sleeping is an isser. It's an isser to sleep outside the sukkah. So why is there an isser to sleep, even a small sleep? I'm not sure. Maybe because ain kevel l'shena. All sleeping is considered sleeping. Al pi halacha. There's no difference between a small... In halacha, we have a difference between a meal and a snack. There's no difference between a nap and a sleep. Okay, I want to share with you Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a tshuva where he has another fascinating take on sleeping in the sukkah. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that he agrees that there's no mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah. There's no mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah. He even says that it's not even usher to sleep outside the sukkah. The mitzvah and the isser is about going to sleep. You have to go to sleep in the sukkah. You don't have to sleep in the sukkah. Once you're sleeping, you're putter. You're sleeping. You don't have a chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah. It's like tzitzis. There's no chiyuv to sleep with tzitzis on. Why do some people sleep with tzitzis on? So listen, that way, once when you wake up, you have your tzitzis on right away. Right? Normally, you wake up, you have to go wash your hands, you have to go find your tzitzis and put them on. Here, the second you wake up, you have your tzitzis on. Okay, Kabbalah, maybe there's a shmiro while you're sleeping, you have tzitzis on. But in terms of halacha, you're not chai, like, let's say you walk into someone's room, and you see him sleeping. Oh my gosh, it's the middle of the day, he doesn't have his tzitzis on. Hey, let me like quietly put his tzitzis on him while he's sleeping so that he doesn't lose out on the mitzvah. He's not chayiv in the mitzvah while he's sleeping. So says the Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's no mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah. You're sleeping. There's a mitzvah to go to sleep in the sukkah. What's the nafkamina? Rav Shlomo Zalman says that let's say you're in a yeshiva and they have a small sukkah. So five guys go into the sukkah, they all fall asleep, and now you come back and you want to sleep. There's no room there. You can take them out. Just roll them out. Roll his bed out because he doesn't need to sleep there. He just needs to go to sleep. He went to sleep. This is what Shlomo Zalman's big chiddush. Now,
could you wake them up and move them out?
No. If you wake them up, then they have. If they want to go back to sleep, they have to go to sleep in the sukkah. Every time they wake up, they have to go to sleep in the sukkah. So, whatever. There are those who want to even be medayik this. There are those who even want to be medayik this in the Rambam. Because when the Rambam asks what's the mitzvah of sukkah, he doesn't say anything about sleeping. But then he says I'm not sure exactly if it's a good deal. We'll leave it for this. Leave it on the side for right now. Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch. So let's say our sikkum. Our summary is as follows. Why is sleeping not mentioned in the Braisa? Why is sleeping not mentioned in the Yerushalmi? So I think we have three answers to that question. Answer number one is because it's patently obvious, and sleeping is so fundamental that it's not even mentioned. That may be what Rashi would say. For the Rambam, it's not mentioned because it's not ikar. That's not how you define the mitzvah of sukkah. And according to Shlomo Zalman, maybe it's not mentioned because it's not really sleeping, which is the yechiyev. Yechiyev is to go to sleep. It doesn't mention sleeping there because sleeping is not really part of the ikar chiyev. Lamaisa, how do we paskin? So if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, but he quotes the Rambam from halacha hey, not halacha vav. He doesn't mention anything about sleeping. That's the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah adds in to sleep there. The Ramah adds v'yashin, right? The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Ketzahi mitzvah sayeshiva besukkah, shia ochel v'shoseh, and then the Ramah sticks in v'yashin. So the Shita of the Ashkenazim, Rashi, the Ramah, seems to be that for sure you must sleep. It is an absolute chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah. So this gets us to the next part of our discussion, which is, well then why are there so many people that do not sleep in the sukkah? If it's very clear certainly how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear that it's absolutely required to sleep in the sukkah. And even the Rambam, who we said maybe it's not part of the definition of the mitzvah, it's still, according to the Rambam, usher to sleep outside the sukkah. So it's either for sure definitional, and even if it's not definitional, it's usher to sleep outside the sukkah. So why in the world do so many people not sleep in the sukkah? So we're not the first. This is not a new phenomenon that people don't sleep in the sukkah. The Ramah and even the Rishonim already addressed the fact. The Ramah quotes from the Mordechai. Mordechai, as we've spoken about, is one of the Rishonim from Germany. So the Hashem Yakom Domo. So the Mordechai says that the minog in Germany is not to sleep in the sukkah because of the frigid temperatures. Right, Germany is pretty north, and right, the guys here who live in England, so I'm sure they're aware, but many of the other guys are probably not aware, England is ridiculously north. You know, if you follow the latitude lines on the map, on the globe, and you see where England is in relative to the United States, it comes out in like northern Canada. Right, northern, like, I don't know if you've ever been to Montreal. Like, Montreal is freezing. And England comes up, the only reason why England is bearable, and it's barely bearable, but the reason why England is bearable is because there's the Gulf Stream that comes in off of the coast, and it brings warm air to England from the sea. If you didn't have that, it would be frigid in England. You know, you go to places that don't have it, that are similar, like the Scandinavian countries, like, you know, Helsinki, let's say. Helsinki is a big city. It's frigid in Helsinki. So, and again, it would be like northern Canada, England, if you follow it across on the map. So, Germany is also frigid temperatures in Germany. And the Mordechai says the reason they don't sleep there is because, you know, he says either it's a din mitzdayer, right? There's a din, you're putter from sukkah if it's very painful to be in the sukkah. Now, what does it mean that it's painful to be in the sukkah? So, there could be wind or mosquitoes, different discussions. Tosos actually writes in Sukkah, in Daf Chavav, that it's part of this din of Teshu Kein Teduru. If your house turned, you know, if the heat broke and it got frigid and you couldn't stay in your house, you would leave your house. So, Teshu Kein Teduru. So, you can also leave your Sukkah if it becomes frigid there. He also brings up the possibility of Chole, that even though you're not actually a Chole, you will become a chole if you sleep in the frigid temperature. So the Rishonim came up with this idea regarding Shabbos that cold is considered like a chole. I mean, there's certain kulas that we have on Shabbos for someone who's a chole. Like, for instance, Amir Lakum. You can have a goy do malacha for you if it's for a chole. Even a chole shembo sakana. Someone who's sick. Like, they need to lie down. They're really sick. Not deathly sick, but sick. You're allowed to have a goy do malacha for you. So a big debate. The Rishonim in Germany wanted to know, in France, in Germany, can we have a goy light a fire for us on Shabbos in order to keep the house warm? Think about it. They didn't have heating back then. They probably put a lot of firewood in Erev Shabbos, so it was warm Friday night. But you wake up Shabbos morning, and you're freezing Shabbos morning. It's the middle of the winter. The fire doesn't last that long. You can't keep adding more wood on Shabbos. What do? The rest of Shabbos, think about towards the end of Shabbos, like Shal Shudas time. It's negative 20 degrees. You don't have a fire anymore. The fire all went out. Even if you put a lot of wood, it's not going to last. So the halacha that they paskin was that you can have a non-Jew feed the fire, even light the fire to keep people warm. That's Amir Lakum. Why is Amir Lakum an Isser D'Rabbanan? No, but it's for a chola. What do you mean it's for a chola? Nobody's sick. No, you might not be sick now, but you will be sick if you spend Shabbos in negative 20 degrees. So hakol cholim eitzal akor. Everyone is considered a chola when it comes to frigid temperatures. So that's what the Ramah brings down. Right, speaking of frigid temperatures. So as the Ramah brings down that because of either the din of chola or because of the din of mitzdayer, you're putter from sleeping in the sukkah in the freezing cold. The Magen Avraham is a little bit more machmir, and he says that's if you don't have warm blankets. I remember growing up, we used to sleep in a sukkah in New Jersey, in Teaneck, and we would wear like heavy pajamas and take out these like really, really heavy like down blankets, and it would be, you know, when you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, it would be freezing to get out of the covers, but at least while you're in the, not bathing suit, in the, what's that thing called that you sleep in? Sleeping bag, thank you. When you're in the sleeping bag with a blanket on top, So it would at least be warm. So that's what the Magen Avraham brings down, that you should sleep at least with a blanket or something if you have blankets that are warm enough. However, the Dake Moshe, which is really the Ramah, the Dake Moshe says that's not enough of a reason to patri you. Be a man. That's not enough of a reason. So he brings another reason. He says that Teshuva came to Duru means you have to live there the way you live there in your home. And a man, when he in his home, he sleeps in the same bed with his wife. He sleeps in the same room with his wife. So since it's not possible to have your wife sleep in the sukkah, now why is it not possible for your wife to sleep there? So he says that women are much more sensitive to the cold. And he says even if you have a heater in there, it's like a different environment, and it's noisy. And he says also it could be that there are other, it's not sanua. No, it could be that either they shared, they used to share sukkahs, different families, or, you know, the people would be coming in and out, and it wouldn't be, tsanua for her to be there. And therefore, he thought that would be a reason to sleep there. And you need to sleep there, he says, with your wife. Why can't you just leave your wife in the house? So he says it's mitzdayer, maybe it's psychological. Rabbi Yoshev paskind that a young couple, if the wife is scared to be alone by herself in the house, so the husband's pater from sleeping in the sukkah, because it's dire for her that he's sleeping in the sukkah. Which I don't know. Maybe if he's like a really good husband, so he's mitzdayer. Like if he knows that his wife is mitzdayer, so then he's mitzdayer. So I'm not sure, but that's Rav Yoshev paskind. He also talks about a yontiv is a samachta at or ishtecha. You're supposed to enjoy yontiv. Is supposed to be a time, family time. So for the men to be outside and the women to be inside. So he thought that unless you're able to find, and he says you should try to find for yourself a place, a private sukkah, where husband and wife can both sleep in the sukkah, and therefore that would be another reason why people do not sleep in the sukkah. Another reason that's brought down in the Rishonim is sakana of ganovim, or goyim. It could be dangerous to sleep in the sukkah. Right? You live in a dangerous neighborhood, and all the Jews are outside, and their doors are open. Right? It's either dangerous. It's a problem of ganavim because they're going to come and hurt you or do something to you in the sukkah. Or they all know the houses are empty. All the Jews are outside in their backyards, you know, off in the grass in this little hut, and the house is completely empty. It's a great time to break into the homes. So that was another reason that was brought down. So when we look at all of these reasons, you know, frigid cold, your wife, ganavim. So first of all, the first ta'ara is, I don't know if any of those are a good reason not to sleep there during the day. And if you need to take a nap in the middle of the day, right, a lot of people say like, yeah, I nap in the house, but at night I go to sleep. It could be the opposite. At night, it's cold. At night, they're ganavim. At night, you know, your wife. During the day, you don't have to take a nap. It's probably not as cold during the day. Okay, good. It obviously depends where you live. But ganavim, wife, that's people take naps all the time. They don't like, oh, okay, family nap time. People take naps all the time by themselves. So if anything, it would be an argument that there's more reason to take a nap in the sukkah. That's number one. And number two, for you guys, you're not married. And, right, Benny, not yet. And you're not married. And you're, it's not cold here in Eretz Yisrael. It's actually beautiful. And, what? So, right, you might have to contend with mosquitoes. Depends where your sukkah is. And if you have sweet blood. But Lamaisa, I think this is a little bit of my push, that it, especially if you live in colder environments, so this is it. Like, this is your opportunity to really, for Rashi, to fulfill the mitzvah, and for the Rambam, to not be over on an Isser. So this is your way to do the mitzvah, b'shleimus, is to try to work out for yourself a situation where you're able to sleep and eat in the sukkah. So I know that's challenging for some of you. Then again, maybe you called cousins and asked if you can come for Yontif, and they said, oh, our guest room is being taken. So you can call back now and say, like, guess what? I don't need the guest room. I just need a little corner in the side of the sukkah someplace that I can call home. So I encourage everyone to try as best as they can to sleep in the sukkah. And it's a different experience, and it changes everything. And I have to tell you, just from my own personal experience, I have many great memories over the past 15 years living here in Eretz Yisrael of like lying in the sukkah at night, like looking up at the schach. It's very peaceful. It's very nice. And there's something very very special and cozy about being in the sukkah, especially like when I was a bachur, I was like alone or with other people. Let's say everyone else was sleeping, lying there awake, looking up at the schach. It's an opportunity we don't often have, and it's something that I definitely encourage you to do. Okay.